This is a daylight savings time Sunday. So on this Sunday, you know, people tend to be a little slower than usual. And I understand that because I'm a people. So I might have been a little slower than usual this morning. Amen? I know that it was about 1:56 this morning. And First Lady got up and went to the bathroom. And I heard her. And when she came back, I said, "You know it's 3:06 now." She said, "What? I was in the bathroom an hour?" I said, "No. I said it's just 3:06 because time went up." Amen. Hallelujah. And it takes sometimes our bodies a while to adjust to the change in time. But I think that I thank God that I serve a God that is outside of time. So he never loses an hour with me. Amen. I never lose time with the God that I serve. I'm always there because he is always on time. If I had a text for you this morning, it would be that God never fails. Amen. No matter what time it is, God never fails. Amen. You won't catch God sleeping on the job. You won't catch him napping. He won't be trying to catch up because he lost an hour. God never fails because he's an on-time God. Amen. I want to say to you this morning that we are powerless because we are so dependent. Amen. From the power that we need, it originates in the beginning of our life. Our instincts naturally are to resist the idea of being dependent. Amen. Have you, a baby comes into the world and all of a sudden they're laying down and they're leaning on their mama, their daddy, their auntie, their uncle, their grandparents, amen? And they depend on that dependence. But after a little while, when they get their legs together, they can't even talk, but if they get their legs together and their arms are moving correctly, all of a sudden they start to become a little more independent. You know, sometimes in our spiritual life, when we start to get our legs together underneath us and our arms are moving pretty good, we believe that we can become a little more independent and less dependent on God. Amen? And when that happens, it is a sign of spiritual illness. You see, when we want to rely on our own dependence, we can be center stage of everything. We can make the claim we did it by ourselves. And independence, when you really look at that word, it's really a word for power. So when we want to become independent from God, we assume that we want to have our own power. Amen? We get blinded by pride. We claim independence for a status that we can really never have. And I say that because either you're on one side of a power or the other side of a power. Amen? I want to tell you this morning that you came into this world being a dependent individual. And when you leave this world, you will be a dependent individual. Somewhere in between your first cry and your last sigh, you're going to have two forms of dependence to choose from. And if you don't choose God, you're going to choose yourself. Amen? And if we choose ourselves, our choices will always be determined by external spirits, namely in people, in places, and in things. But if you have the right dependence on God, which is true independence, which is true power, you will have independence from the forces of this world, which are the spirits of this world, which is sin. And if you don't have independence with God, a dependence on God, then you will have dependence on the thing of this world. Amen? So when I use the word independence, think of the word power. And we are so dependent on power for everything. Can I get an amen? We're dependent on power for everything. And if God is the source of our power, we should be dependent on God for our power. Amen? Now, when the power goes out, we feel helpless. Have you ever been in a blackout? Have you ever been in a situation where there's no power at all? When the power goes out, we feel helpless. We feel hopeless. You don't understand that unless you've really been in a situation where you're so powerless, where everything that you depended on, the source of that power, is no longer there. Amen? So my question that I pose to you today, if God is your source of strength and your source of power, when that power has gone out, is there really a power failure? Let me say that again. If God is your source of strength and he is your source of power, if something happens, is there really a power failure? Amen? When it appears, I use that word, when it appears that the power has gone out, is there really a power failure? Is there such a thing as a God failure? When it appears that God has stopped working, is it a God failure? Sometimes there are signs that indicate that we are experiencing, come on somebody, a God failure. We'll have a physical situation going on, and because you cried out to the Lord and something didn't happen according to the way that you expected it, you might believe that you're experiencing a God failure. If you have a financial problem and you didn't get what you wanted, you could feel like you're having a God failure. If you have a personal problem or a natural disaster is happening, a national disaster is happening, you can feel like there is a God failure. When something bad happens and it looks like you're experiencing a God failure, you wonder to yourself, has God stopped working for me? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Listen to that statement. Has God stopped working for me? I want you to know this morning, God don't work for you. Maybe you might feel like, well, God stopped caring for me. Maybe God stopped protecting me. Maybe God stopped blessing me. And I think when you believe those things and you say those things, you are experiencing a God failure. This morning, our scripture will be coming from the book of Lamentations. We are going to see that there is no such thing as a God failure. God never stops working. God never stops blessing. God never stops caring. God never stops protecting. Even during times when it seems like God has failed us, God never stops working. And God never stops blessing. When we look in the third chapter of Lamentations, Jeremiah was crying. He was crying because his country had just been destroyed by a foreign nation. His favorite city, Jerusalem, was in ruins. It was just a pile of rocks now. He was in his feelings about God and how God was treating him and his country. So if we go to Lamentations, the third chapter, and we look at verses 10 to 18, it says, he has been a bear lying in wait. Like a lion in ambush, he has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow, and he set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have removed my soul afar from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Listen to the words and the analogies that Jeremiah is using. He has described all the ways that they felt that God has opposed them and even attacked them. That God has opposed them and even attacked them. He said God was like a bear and like a lion waiting to attack them. That he was like an archer who had the arrow pointed for their body, using them as a target. That God was mocking them. He led a taunting song for the people to sing. That God was like a judge and given a cup of judgment and the wormwood for them to drink. He said God was a brute, breaking his teeth with gravel. My strength and my hope had gone from the Lord. How could Jeremiah think and Jerusalem think that God was their adversary? Amen? We know that the Bible teaches us that if God is for you, nothing can be against you. Amen? But there are times in our lives that we might think that everything that we're going through, that God must be against us. We must be thinking, what did we do to deserve this? Amen? Many times when we go through things, the very people that we love and that we trusted in, our family members, our friends, they will look at you and ask you, what did you do to deserve that? Amen? But look at what Jeremiah says in the next couple of verses, in verses 19 and 20. Even though his soul was sinking, he says, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Jeremiah really wasn't talking about the power of positive thinking. You know, sometimes you go through things and people say, well, just think positive. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where you're going through something and you really can't think too positive about it? And then somebody says, well, you know, just think positive. See, there are times that God don't want you to think positive. He wants you to think about the situation, to think about the circumstance that you're in. Amen? Jeremiah felt it useful to remember and to understand what he was going through and what it was. He wasn't going to go through positive thinking like, oh, this don't even exist. Have you ever been in a situation and some people act like it don't exist? No, God wanted them to understand this does exist. Why? Because the people were disobedient. They were disrespectful. God was punishing them. Of course, this is the Old Testament, but God was punishing them for the way that they acted, for the things that they did, for not honoring God. Jeremiah says, I better remember this. The people need to remember this. Even though this stinks and my soul feels sunken, I got to remember what it is that is going on. Too many times we don't want to remember what was going on. And as soon as we forget, we get back on the same track that we were on before. Amen? God would give the people of Israel, the children of Israel, he would give them beatings because of their disobedience. I don't know about you, but as a child, they were the children of Israel. Amen? And God used to beat the children, his chosen people, the people he loved. He would beat them with circumstances and trials because of their disobedience. Amen? Now, when I was a child, I fought as a child. That's what the Bible says. When I was a child, I fought as a child. The children of Israel fought as children. Sometimes children, when they get beat, they don't remember the circumstances that caused them to get the beating. So they go back and they do the same thing. So what do you do if you really want them to remember? The beating is not the same. The beating's a little more severe. It's a little more harsh. You know, instead of just beating them, you add 2 weeks of punishment. You can't go outside. The first time you got a beating. Now the second time you got beat and you can't go outside. So maybe the time that you got the beating and you can't go outside, you'll remember it a little better. Amen? Jeremiah is looking at this situation that way. He says, I think it's time for us to remember. Saints, look at some of the things that we've gone through in our lifetime. Look at where God has brought you from. And I think that it's time for us to remember. Amen? Jeremiah said it was time for this to sink into his soul. It was time to understand that if we don't want this punishment, then we must do differently. Amen? Jeremiah, at first, there was bitterness in his complaint. There was the bitterness of adversity. This is not us, amen? As soon as there's adversity in our life, here comes our complaint. God, how could this happen? Lord Jesus, I thought I was your son. I thought I was your daughter. But then Jeremiah comes to the point where he humbles himself down, understanding that he is under the mighty hand of God. When we go through things, if we get past the point of complaining, get past the point of looking at adversity, and understand that we are under the mighty hand of God. Because nothing happens without him knowing that it's going to happen. Nothing happens without him allowing it to happen. Amen? And when Jeremiah realizes that he's under the humble hand of God, his tune changes. In verses 22 to 23, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail us not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to get past the point of complaining and adversity to understand that great is God's faithfulness. That every morning that we wake up, we have new mercies every day. Another opportunity, another chance to get something done that we didn't get done the day before, the night before. That God has blessed us. No matter what it is that you're going through, great is his mercy. Great is his faithfulness. New mercies. New mercies. He don't repeat them. New mercies. I want you to know that you're God's chosen people. That he chose you. That no matter what you go through, great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. It says because, you know, when you say something to somebody, but you put that word but there, it kind of changes the context of everything. Amen? So there's that word because. He says because of his love. If you never had love, God loves you. And it says because of his love. Because of his love. Amen? We have a new chance every day. New mercies every day. When Jeremiah said that, and he looked, and he realized that his heart was filled with hope. Amen? Jeremiah knew that God's compassion for his people failed. You know, there are times you might have got a beating and you know your parent really looked at you and they had compassion for you even though they didn't show it to you. Compassion. Compassion. Compassion is something that has some emotion in it. Some people can love but have no compassion. Have you ever seen somebody who love but have no compassion? But the Bible tells us because of his love, because of his compassion for us. You see, God doesn't just love you, but God has a compassion, some feelings . Do you know that he has feelings for you? Hallelujah. That God has feelings for you. That God, you got to understand compassion. You got to understand feelings because you can love something, but you know what? Because you love something, it don't give you the endurance that you need to get through something. But your compassion with your love combined will take you places you never thought that you can get to. You love your children, but because you have compassion for them, you go the extra mile for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to break it down to you so you understand that God's love is a deeper love than just the love for you. Sometimes we understand people get up and start talking about agape love and this love and that love. But this love is compassionate. There's an emotion that he has for you. When something happens to you, God knows he has compassion. Compassion is feeling. It's an emotion. We tell people, oh, I love you. But when they hurt, you don't hurt. You might say it, but it ain't true. I understand how you feel. No, you don't. Because you haven't gone through it. But the Bible tells me that everything that I'm going to go through and everything that you're going to go through, that I have a master sitting at the right hand of God who's over everything. So when I say, God, I need you. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Understand the things that I'm going through. Understand the adversity that I feel. Understand my struggles. He knows what I've gone through. He understands my feeling. And when he understands, I don't need you to understand. Why? Because his compassions never fail. His compassion for me never fail. His love for me never fail. Listen, if people love with the compassion that God love, you know what? There won't be no divorces. There won't be no divorces because you wouldn't have compassion enough to know that your love, your emotion is so deep for that person that it'll never fail. We get in this into this thing called love, and there is no compassion in the love. When terrible things go on in your life, remember, God never fails. When terrible things happen in your life, remember that God's in control. And not only is he in control, but he want to use that for something. In this circumstance, God was disciplining the people of Israel. But this was his chosen nation. If he'll do it to them, then he'll do it to the people that are not chosen. What was wrong with these people? They stopped believing in the true God anymore. They stopped looking forward to the coming of the Messiah anymore. God needed to do something to get their attention. Hallelujah. God was going to destroy some things, but he wasn't going to destroy everything. Amen? There was a few of them remained. And as long as there's a few remnants, then there is hope. Amen? Have you ever looked at somebody whose whole house is burnt down? And when you see them on the news and they're looking at the house and the news people were talking to them, they say, I lost everything, but thank God I'm still alive. Thank God I'm still here. All of that other stuff can be replaced, but thank God I'm still here. God needed to do something. Amen? But because of God's love, things happened, but they wasn't consumed. Some of them still had their life. And Jeremiah knew that even though everybody ain't here, that God's love had not consumed everybody. God's love, God's anger did not destroy everybody. Let me make that clear. Amen? God had a plan. Jeremiah realized it. If God has a plan, let me just say this to you. He will never, ever completely abandon his plan. God has a plan for your life. He's never, ever going to completely abandon the plan for your life. Amen? God didn't want the survivors, his chosen people, to die off in a foreign land. He knew that he would keep his promises, and Jeremiah knew it. So here, God had a plan. Jeremiah knew it. God made a promise, and Jeremiah knew it. God has a plan for your life, and you should know it. God has a promise, made promises to you in the Bible, and it ain't changing. We change, but God's plans never change. Amen? God was looking to use the survivors and bring them back to him. Many of those survivors would repent of their lives. This is why in verse 27 said, it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has made plans for him. The Lord has laid it on him. When you go through a problem in your life, remember, it ain't bad luck. It ain't bad luck. I know there was a song when I was growing up, I used to love to sing it. Bad luck, that's what you got. That's what you got. And I thought I had bad luck. But I didn't have no luck at all. If you're going through bad luck, you don't have no luck at all. But you have to remember that it's in God's plan for what's going on in your life. Because God regulates. He regulates the good and he regulates the bad into your life. Sometimes God will interrupt your life. God will interrupt your peaceful day. You know, when you're having a peaceful day, you sitting back, you maxing and relaxing, and you're not thinking about nothing, and all of a sudden something comes in. It ain't all the time the devil. It could be God telling you, get up out of your slumber. Something's about to happen. I need you. Get up on your post. Amen? He has says, I have made you a watchman. Maybe it's time to get up off of your slumber. Have you ever slept so much that when you get up, you're tired? Because you slept so much. We need to understand that sometimes God's plans are beyond our understanding. Look at the book of Job. Sometimes God will use us. He considers us. He considered Job. Amen? We learn that God is in control of everything in our world. Sometimes he shields us from problems, and sometimes he don't. Either way, whether you're covered from the problem or whether you're not, his compassion for you never fail. Amen? Stop saying, God, what did you do to me? Say, God, what do you want me to learn from this? God, what are you showing me? God, what do you want me to do with this situation? The Bible says, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Now, I have to say, this week, I got my second shot. Some people had said to me, you know, when you get that second one, they said to me, when you get that second one, you might feel a little something. Well, I got my second one on Wednesday. But let me backtrack and let me say that it was time for me to have my second shot. I made all the proper arrangements that I had to get the second shot. But when I came to get the second shot, they were unprepared for me. Amen? But I know that my God, his compassions never fail. He put me in a situation, amen, to say I am supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to wait to see if you have extra. They told me, well, you got to wait for a few hours. And if we have anything left over, then we'll take care of you. But when God set me up with the first one, he set me up with the second one. So in no way was I leaving because I was supposed to be there. When you understand who you are and whose you are, in whatever circumstance and situation you're in, you're supposed to be there. So when they said, wait, I said, okay, you go check the records. You work for the city? I said, okay, you need to go check this because I'm getting ready to take names and I'm getting ready to take numbers. And I'm going to call your boss because I know him. See, when you know who you are, anytime you get in a situation, you need to take names. You need to take numbers. I don't know how I got here, but this is going to go anyway. You take names and you take numbers and you write it down so you can call on your boss. To take care of the situation. Because he'll make it all right. God made it all right. But anyway, they told me about the second shot. And because I stood my ground, when they gave me, I felt the needle was a little harsh. Did you hear my voice? A little harsh. I said, well, maybe they're giving me two doses because they don't want to see me again. But that wasn't true. But that's the way my mind was thinking because I felt the needle still in my arm, even after I left there. And first lady said, how you feel? I said, I feel fine. And I got the needle about 11, and I felt fine for 4 hours. But sometime, about 3 o'clock, all of a sudden things start to change a little bit. And she said, how you feeling now? I said, well, you know, I feel a little different right now. I said, I think I'm going to go over here and sit down for a moment. About 6, she says, well, how do you feel? I said, I feel like I got the flu or something, but I took my temperature and I don't have a fever. About 8 o'clock, I called somebody whose birthday was this week. Somewhere about 6:30 o'clock, I called somebody whose birthday was this week, Sister Thickman. And then I went through the prayer, and after I went through the prayer, I was out. I was out. And I said to myself, my arms was hurting. My hips was hurting. Everything that, my wife said, everything that's supposed to hurt or does hurt you was hurting. Everything was hurting. I couldn't sleep. I woke up. It must have been about 11:30. I still couldn't sleep. But in the back of all of that, I had to realize that I got what God had delivered me to. And even though I was going through some pain, that through the pain that God had a plan for me to get this vaccination, and that no matter the pain and the suffering that I was going through, in the long run, I was going to be better off for it. So there's times in your life that you're going to go through something. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some suffering. But in the long run, God has a plan for you, and it's going to be better as a result of going through it. And because I don't like needles and I don't want to go through this again, I'm still going to wear my mask. And so when I see people who want to walk around without a mask because they think they're all that and COVID ain't this and that, I pray for them. So sometimes God shields us from problems. And sometimes he doesn't. I want you to know this morning that God is faithful to you. When we look at verse 31, it says, for men. And I'm going to change it a little bit. For men and for women and for everybody, you're not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. We might go through adversities, but we're not cut off. We might go through adversities, but we're not cast off. God never fails. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, it looked like God had failed, but was all in the plan. God never failed. It looked like God had stopped blessing. God had stopped caring for his son. That God had stopped protecting Jesus. But God never failed. It looked like sometimes God's not keeping his promises for us. But God never failed. On resurrection morning, as we know, Jesus rose from the dead because God never failed. The gruesome death, no matter what it is that he went through, showed us that God never failed. Hallelujah. There's a way sometimes that there's a cleaning process that we must go through. But I want you to know this morning that just because there's some pain involved, God never failed. I pray this morning that this message fills you with an attitude of hope, knowing that no matter what, that God never failed. Look at verse 24. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. There I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation for the Lord. I waited patiently for a lot of things for a lot of years. It never happened. But God made a promise to me, and I wait patiently for the Lord. I want you to know this morning that God is full of stimulus checks. You just have to wait for him to pass the bill. Financial issues, check. Bill issues, check. Mortgage issues, check. Car payment issues, check. Student loan issues, check. Debt issues, check. Health issues, check. Insurance issues, check. Cancer issues, check. Diabetes, check. Heart disease, check. Arthritis, check. Depression, check. COVID issues, check. Substance abuse issues, check. Your stimulus is coming. God's going to pass the bill for you. You just got to wait for him to pass it. Are you waiting for your stimulus check from God this morning? We might have to wait, but when God passes that bill for your life, it's going to be on time. God never fails. God always blesses. He always cares. He always protects. He always has a plan. Even when we're under adverse condition, don't become depressed. Don't become faint of heart. Faint of heart. You say, well, what do you mean, faint of heart? There's a difference between faint of heart and losing heart. Faint of heart says, well, I don't know. When you lose heart, you said it ain't happening. Don't lose faint of heart. Become faint of heart. And don't lose heart. Instead, we wait. We hope. Have faith in God. Because we know, like the prophet Jeremiah says, that God never fails. The same God who took my sins away in the most amazing way is the same God that will take your sins away in the most amazing way. Some people will look at you and say, I can't believe that it's you. But it's amazing what God has done in your life. Amen? You see, because when they left me, he never abandoned me. When they put me for dead, he says, you're going to come alive. He sacrificed his son for me. He will certainly take care of me as I go through whatever problems come my way. Listen, God wants us to be patient. They waited thousands of years for the Messiah to come. They wrote of him. Thousands of years went by before he came. He finally came. The disciples didn't understand Jesus, but he says, wait a little while. Wait a little while, and then you'll understand. And then on that day of Pentecost, when the fire of the Holy Spirit came down upon them. Oh, hallelujah. And they start speaking in all kind of tongues. And people thought they were drunk. Then they understood that the power that he had promised them had come down. They understand that the Comforter had come. Amen? The Spirit poured out on them. The Apostle Paul, all the afflictions that he went through, all the problems that he had, he shared God all over the world. But he waited patiently for God to bless his work. Most of the work that he did, he never had the opportunity to really see the blessings of his life. I'm saying to you right now, God never fails. You might not see the blessings of the work that you're doing right now, but if you trust in God and know that he never fails, if you just wait patiently, God is going to show up and he's going to show out. Amen. Christ wants us to be patient. God wants us to produce patience, to slow down and wait for him. Hallelujah. God does not test us for the sake of testing us. He tests us to teach us. He tests us to refine us. He tests us so we learn to walk in his ways and to trust in him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, how to trust in him, how to walk in his way. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in the hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And today, that's what we're doing. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in whatever afflictions are going on in your life right now. Hallelujah. Be faithful in prayer. Are you faithful in your prayer? Are you faithful in your prayer? Are you faithful? Are you faithful in your prayer? Are you faithful? Your prayer life with the Most High, you are speaking to your God. You are communicating with him. Are you faithful in talking to Jesus Christ, to God, the Creator? Are you faithful? God knows if you're faithful in your prayer. You could tell me how faithful in prayer you are, but God knows. When you faithful in your prayer starts with a thankfulness. Your prayer should be starting with some praise. Your prayer should start with some thoughtfulness. He's done for you and saying, thank you, God. So if you're not faithful in prayer, you're not praising God for what he's done. But you want him to do more. How do you want somebody to do more when you're not thankful for what you got? He got you a car, you don't wash your car. You don't clean it out. Come on, somebody. Are you faithful in prayer? I want to know that. I have a prayer line that God has given us for this church. I don't hear a whole lot of people on that prayer line. I could get about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people on a regular basis on this prayer line. But when I look at the roll, when I look at the church roll, when I look at membership, there's a lot more numbers there than on the prayer line. Are you faithful in prayer? So I'm waiting for somebody to say to me, well, at that particular time, I can't be on that at that night. I'll do one in the morning. We have a noonday prayer. Are you faithful in prayer? At some time, each and every one of us should be on a prayer line with one another. There's no excuse. None. Are you faithful in prayer? You want to serve a God that never failed you, but you fail speaking to him. And I'm talking from the pulpit to the back door. We talk about this church going up to another level. We're not going to no level without prayer. You want to see change in your household. You want to see change in your relationships, change on your jobs, change on your children. It ain't going nowhere without prayer. Who are you talking to about it? Your coworker, your husband, your wife? They can't change things for you. You know what? You can't even change them. But we serve a God that can change things. Stop telling me about change you want to see. Where's your prayer life? Great is his faithfulness. I refer and I end this message this morning with Psalm 61. It says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. Come on, somebody. Lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. It says when you pray, when your heart is overwhelmed and you don't know exactly what to do, that your prayer will lead you to the rock. It will lead you to what is higher than you, what is higher than you're going through. Why? Because God never fails. God is faithful. He's got new mercies every day. Do you understand how all of this go together? You want a faithful God, but you don't want to pray. When your heart gets overwhelmed, you don't know what to do. You don't even know who to talk to. When God says, lean on me. When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry. Carry on. It won't be long. Hallelujah. Let us stand this morning.